Your face matches your shirt, brother. You know, I can picture when we get to heaven, we're all going to be singing that and saying that around the throne. Can't you picture our brother playing that as we sing it? I can. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Truly you are worthy, O Lamb of God, to have all praise. Worthy you are to receive many, many crowns. And Lord, we do thank you that we can look in your word to have a picture of eternity, of worshiping you. And Lord, we come before you this morning asking as we look in your word that you'll speak to us, and Lord, may our prayer life increase, that we can draw closer to you in the days in which we have this opportunity to live in. And may you have all glory. Worthy you are, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. There have been many studies and books written concerning prayer. And, you know, they answer two questions. Why should we pray? And another question is, how should we pray? And that's many studies and books have been written concerning those two questions. Today we're going to look at the question, when should we pray? We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus and the example he has set before us in Scripture concerning when we should pray. He is our Redeemer, our Lord, our Savior, and also our example to live by. So when should I pray is the question. Well, our text this morning, John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Now, the greatest work you and I can ever do is to lead someone in faith in Jesus Christ. That's the greatest work, is to help someone to know Jesus personally. Verse 13, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And I read this text of Scripture to just put it on the line for you. It doesn't matter when you pray or how you pray or why you should pray. Unless you're praying to Jesus, it doesn't matter anyway. Unless you're talking to Jesus, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. So let's just put that out there right now. We're praying to Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb is what we're going to praise Him for all eternity. So you better get used to talking to Him right now, amen? So if you're not talking to Jesus, it's not a Christian prayer, and you're not talking to the God of the Bible. If you're not going to the throne of grace and mercy in the name of Jesus. Amen, church. So with that, getting it out there on the line, we're looking at some signals in our life that should prompt our hearts to seek, to turn to God and to seek Him and ask for help and guidance and wisdom in life. So when should I pray? Number one, pray when you get up every morning. Now, I know some people, your schedule is different than most people, and your morning may be afternoon, okay? But pray in your morning. In other words, start the day, start your day in prayer. Go to the Lord in prayer every morning. Now, some are not physically able to do it right away, but to start your day in prayer to the Lord Jesus. And when you're doing that, when we start our morning, our day in prayer, what are we doing? We are submitting our life and our day to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. We're humbling ourselves before Him. We're committing the day to Him. By the way, you have a day because He gave it to you. So talk to the one who gave you that day to start with. Okay? That is submitting your day, your life, an example that Jesus gave us. This is a topical message. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture. But an example that Jesus gave us is in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Should be on the screen. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Now not everyone gets up before daylight, but Jesus did. And He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. So an example, He began His day in prayer. You and I, as His followers, we should begin our day in prayer. Number two, pray when you have to make important decisions. Pray when you have to make important decisions. An example in Jesus' life is Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Now it came to pass in those days that He went out to the... That He went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And in verse 13, and when it was day, He called His disciples to Himself, and from them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles. Was that a very important decision? Yes. He prayed before He chose the 12. Very important. Now, one of them was a traitor. One of them denied Him. Some of them were fishermen, uneducated, the Bible called them. One of them was a tax collector. One of them was actually a freedom fighter. And yet, He chose them as 12 disciples, and the whole world was turned upside down by these men. So, when you and I make important decisions, we need to pray. Matter of fact, in all decisions, let's pray. Amen? In my life, the times that I have messed up big time, I know you're looking at me, Pastor, you're perfect. You don't mess. I know you think that about me, and I appreciate that. But the times that I have messed up, you know what I didn't do? Didn't pray. And can I be honest with you, some years ago, why I didn't pray? Because I knew what Jesus would tell me. And I wouldn't be able to get to do what I wanted to do. You see the word I? But when we pray, we're seeking wisdom from Him and guidance. So when I messed up in life, it's because I didn't pray about it. But the times that it was right, the times that it all worked out, I'm not saying it wasn't hardships, but the times that it all fit together, you know what I did then? I prayed. I prayed. So when we make decisions, big or small, let's pray. That's what Jesus did. Thirdly, pray when you are under pressure. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 are example that Jesus gave us. However, the report went around concerning Him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He was under great pressure, difficulty. This crowd was always constantly asking and asking for healing and pressing upon him. And he prayed while he was under great pressure. You know, sometimes some of the greatest pressure we experience as Christians is when we're actually serving the Lord, when we're actually doing ministry, when we're actually living for Christ and following Christ at work or at school, and we're under pressure when we're doing that. We need to pray, don't we? Need to pray. You know, I'm reminded, last weekend, Brother Dan and myself and Alicia and Rebecca celebrated Miss Barbara's birthday, but she wasn't there. Sorry, Miss Barbara. Happy birthday. But he brought over deer stew. And you know, when someone brings something over to your house in a pressure cooker, you know it's going to be good. And my mother cooked a lot with a pressure cooker. And he cooked that stew in a pressure cooker. And I mean, it melted in your mouth. Very tender. It tenderized it. And you know, pressures in life, folks. And when we're praying through those pressures in life, by the way, pressure, Brother Danny, having cancer, and they're under pressure, you're under pressure, you're under pressure, your family's under pressure. We're all experiencing pressure. But you know, when we're praying and seeking the Lord in those pressures in life, it tenderizes us, does it not? And what does it tenderize? This right here, our heart, our emotions, our feelings, our very being. And it tenderizes us to be able to love more. And to do ministry and to serve. So pray when you're under pressure. Ephesians chapter 6. It tells us to put on the whole armor of God. So that why? So that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. That's pressure. We need to pray under pressure. Also, number 4, I know this may not apply to anybody in here, but pray when you have difficulties with others. Now, don't look at your spouse right now, please. Don't do that. But pray when you have difficulties with others. I mean, if you have any type of social life, there's going to be difficult people, or is it not? It will be. Difficulty in life with people, and no matter where you go, because people are people no matter where you go. Amen? And there are some difficult people that we are to deal with. You know what Jesus did in Luke chapter 22, verse 32? He said this, "But I have prayed for you." You know who he's talking to? The Apostle Peter. "I had prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Now, the Apostle Peter, sometimes he would have foot and mouth disease. One time he told Jesus, "You're not going to do that." And then, you know, he said, "I'll do this for you." And he didn't do it. But Jesus prayed for Peter because he was a difficult person, but he was a dynamic leader for the early church. And Jesus prayed for him. So when you have difficulty with others, pray. Pray. And when we pray for other people that we have difficulty with, you know, it puts a priority in our life to love more. It puts a priority on our life to understand more when we pray. And I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again. when we pray for other people, you know who changes the most anyway? We do. God changes us when we pray for others. Jesus prayed for Peter. Also, when we pray, when you are hurting. This is number five. You know what Jesus said when he was hurting? When he was bearing our sins on the cross? And he had experienced a brutal beating? And he was stretched out on the cross? You know what he said? What he prayed? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he was hurting. The sinless Lamb of God was experiencing the wrath of God upon him, and he bore our sins and nailed them to the cross. And he was hurting. And he prayed. So when you and I are hurting, we need to pray. And sometimes our hearts is molding us as a clay in a potter's hand. And God is the potter and we are the clay, and he's molding us. And when we're praying through this, we're being conformed more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ through our hearts. So pray when you are hurting. And there are all types of hurts. There are physical hurts and sicknesses. The book of James says, "Is any of you suffering? Let them pray. If any of you are joyous, sing a song." There's all types of hurts, emotional hurts. Pray when you are hurting. Number six, pray when you are tempted. Pray when you are tempted. Right at the beginning of the ministry of the Lord, he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, and there he fasted and prayed for 40 days. And then the tempter came, Satan, and tempted Jesus. And Satan, when he was tempting Jesus, was using Scripture, but he twisted it. You know, the devil knows just as much Scripture as you and I do. And yet he twisted it. And Jesus, because he had fasted and prayed, and he was praying during this temptation, he quoted Scripture back and overcame the temptations that the devil threw at him. So as our example, when we are tempted, big temptations or little temptations, we need to pray. And just because we're tempted does not mean we have sin. But James says it like this: when we are tempted and we think about it and dwell upon it, it gives birth to sin when we act upon that temptation. But when we are praying and asking God for guidance and the spiritual armor to put on, we can overcome temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this concerning temptation: "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." This is concerning temptation. Just because we're tempted does not mean we have sin. But when we give over to that temptation, it is sin. But we can bear it through prayer. We can overcome temptation through prayer. This is not concerning burdens in life. When we have burdens in life, we are to give them to the Lord and help each other carry them, or carry them ourselves, the small ones. But when it comes to temptation, We need help. We need a way of an escape. And that way of escape, most of the time, is prayer. So pray when you are tempted. Number 7, the last one. Pray when you face a need. Pray when you face a need. In the model prayer, our example prayer, Jesus said this, speaking to God, give us this day our daily bread. That's a basic need, isn't it? Daily bread. Very basic. And if the God of heaven is concerned about your most basic need, why do you think He thinks about your big needs? He cares for us. He loves us. And yes, He knows our needs before we say them. But when we have a close walk with Him and talking with Him, He wants to hear them. Just like you, if you have a child, you want that child to talk to you. You want to know what they're thinking. You want to talk with them and hear their desires. And then when they get about 14, they clam up. You know, sometimes we as mature Christians, we're about like a 14-year-old, 15-year-old teenager. And I'm not bashing the teenagers. But we get like some of them, I should say, and we can handle it. Because we already know it. We've done been through that. We did it for years. And we can do this. We can do that. And we just go on about our business. Instead of talking to the God who loves us so much. And wants us to talk to Him. Why was we created? We were created. We just didn't happen. We were created to have fellowship with God. That's why He created you and me. To have fellowship. And I promise you, you carry your needs to the Lord, and He will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Will that preach here in Cooper Baptist Church in Leesville, Louisiana? Yes. Will that preach over there in Iraq where they're killing Christians? Yeah, he'll preach there too. You know why? There's all types of deliverances. You know your number one basic need of all time is, spiritually speaking, is salvation. Our number one basic need is forgiveness of sins, and we all have done that. We need forgiveness. He'll supply all your need. Give us this day our daily bread. The Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. God provided for the Apostle Paul until it was time for him to come home, and Nero had him beheaded. But he went home. And it was all to the glory of Christ. And when you and I pray according to His riches in Christ Jesus, we're seeking His will because our primary mission... Yes, you work and you go to school and you have careers and you have families, but our primary mission in life is to share Jesus, the Great Commission. I promise you, He'll supply your need to do that. He'll do that. Please listen. If you do not know Jesus personally, The Bible tells us that if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, if you call upon Jesus and believe in your heart that He lives, and believe in your heart that He'll live in you, He'll save you. He'll save you. Now with that calling is to turn from sin and to turn to Him. To turn from yourself and turn to Christ. And He will forgive you of sin and have a close walk with you. That's a need you have if you do not know Jesus. When to pray that? Pray it now. If you need help, I'll be here to help you to pray. And after you pray that, share it with us. Confess Him before men. You know what we'll do? We'll pray for you. We'll hug your neck, shake your hand. We won't embarrass you in any way. We'll just be happy. We'll be happy with you if you'll give your heart and life to Jesus today. Let's pray. Lord, may this be a reminder to myself and to my church family that we need to pray, Lord. We need to pray without ceasing in all aspects of life. And Lord, I pray that someone will ask you into their heart this morning. And may it be for your glory, worthy is the Lamb. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, woo a heart for your glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.